What's the title of today's message? Praise God. The price of telling the truth. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been placed in a situation in which you knew what the truth was about it, but you didn't say anything because you knew you would pay a price if you told it? How many of you have ever been in that situation in which your parents said, "What happened here?" and you did not want to tell on your brother or your sister, so you kept your mouth shut? You knew there was a price to be paid if you told the truth. It might mean somebody getting angry with you. It might mean somebody kicking you out of a group. It might mean losing a job, losing a career. And sometimes telling the truth can even cost you your life. The truth can get you into trouble. And the Word of God teaches us that the closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more the truth of the Word of God is going to get us in trouble. Tell your neighbor, your day is coming. The Bible teaches that in the last days, people are going to want to talk about religion and they're going to want to talk about spiritual matters. But the moment you start talking about the Word of God saying something is sin, then you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be accused of trying to impose your values on others. What does the Word of God tell us about truth? It tells us that God does have a standard. The Word of God tells us there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. There are some behaviors which are acceptable to God and there are some behaviors which are not. And the Bible tells us that we all start out in the same category of people, which is a sinner in need of a change that can only happen by the grace and mercy of God. How many of you know the person sitting next to you was born with a bent toward evil? How many of you know you were born with a bent toward evil? Nobody ever sits down a child and says, "Today we're going to have a lesson on how to be selfish." Nobody sits down and tells a child, "Today I'm going to teach you how to be a rebel, how to say no." Nobody teaches a child how to sit down and say, "Man." Nobody teaches a child when you go to the nursery, if they grab something that's yours, slap them upside the head. Nobody teaches that. Why? Because we are all born with a nature toward doing wrong. Every last one of us came into this world with desires inside of us that are contrary to the Word of God. Some of us came in here lying. At 2, we would lie. At 12, we would lie. At 22, we'd lie. At 52, we still struggle to tell the truth. I don't care if it was 6 inches, we swear that fish was 15 and a half inches. We just have that problem. Some of us came into this world with a problem with stealing. Nobody better not leave a dollar around because it's going to be gone. And if they leave it around today, it will still be gone. Some of us came into the world holding grudges. We knew when we were kids, "Don't you make so-and-so upset. They'll be mad at you until Jesus comes." Some of us came into this world struggling with lust the moment we discovered the opposite sex. Some of us came into this world with a spirit of jealousy. Now, it affected all of us in different ways. Some of us didn't have a problem with any of these things. I just haven't gotten around to our list yet, but we all have a list. But God still loved us. And God loved us with the desire to get us to turn away from these behaviors and turn toward God and start walking in the truth. Now, the truth is that as we get closer to the end times, the scripture says people are going to try to get us to accept all kinds of behaviors as normal behaviors. Look there in your outline and read with me 2 Timothy 3:1-4. It says what? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, y'all say, I know some of these people because they live with me. But these are the kinds of people we have been called to go and make a difference in their lives. Now, let's be sure that there is no straight line that goes down the middle where the good people are on this side and the bad people are on that side. The reality is many of us are struggling with some of these same issues right now in our lives, and we will be struggling with them until we go to the grave. That is why we are told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We got to do something about this that is inside of us. And the truth of the Word of God is telling us, if you are doing these things, you need to stop, change, and choose to follow Jesus Christ. Now, you can't say, you know, I'm just an unforgiving person. As long as I can remember, I was an unforgiving person. I remember that time back in eighth grade when that teacher gave me an F and I couldn't play on the team no more. I just couldn't forgive him. I tried to be forgiven once or twice, but I found out I took it back. If God truly loves me, God will accept me as I am as long as I offer my gifts and talents to the Lord. That should be enough. Now, you can feel that way if you want to, but the truth of the Word of God states, if you do not forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. You can tell me about the peace that you got of it in your heart if you want to, but the Word of God remains the same. Now, our society is bent on changing our values to get us to reject the Word of God. It never says, however, pay attention, I'm about to get you to reject the Word of God. If it did, we'd put on our glasses and say, wait a minute, let me check this out. But it does not do that. Instead, it plays on our emotions and gives us a scene that drags us into the story slowly but surely, and it leads us down the path it wants us to go in order to pick up something. Last Sunday after church, I was sitting there in my kitchen, and I turned on the TV, and it happened to be on BET. And there was this beautiful black little girl, about 12 years of age, very, very articulate, and she was sitting with what I thought was her father in the restaurant, but somebody in the first service told me it wasn't really her father, it was a neighbor next door that was taking her out. But anyway, the guy that she was sitting with, he was very muscular, looked kind of nice, attractive, wavy hair and stuff, and there was obviously something that was bothering this little girl as she was slowly eating her food. And finally, she looks up and she says to the guy, is it true that you sleep with other men? And he says, I'm going to be, first he said, whoa, what a little girl like you asking a question like that. And she said, I wanted to know if it was true. And he says, I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, I do sleep with other men. He says, I believe the only sin is turning away from someone that you truly love. Do you think that's wrong? And she says, well, I know some people say that it is wrong. And he says, well, can you still love me like I am? And she says, yes, I can love you because some people wanted me to stop loving my mother because she was a dope addict. And she says, well, does this mean you're coming out of the closet? And he says, whoa, I ain't never been in no closet. A closet means you go in there and you stay in there. I go in the door and I come back out the door. And she says, well, does this mean that we're going to start to march in the gay pride parades together? And he says, no. I've already done my marching with Dr. Martin Luther King for civil rights. I'm from the generation that likes to value our privacy. It's your job to go out and march in the gay pride parade. I am going to keep this to myself. And then after this scene, they switch to another scene in which he takes her home to her mother, and her mother has these pop-out eyes, look bloodshot as much as you can get. Her hair is standing in 42 different directions, and she's talking real crazy and nonsensical and nervously, and she's trying to get out of the house because the people who have some more dope for her are outside blowing the horn, and she's like, I gotta go, I want to be with y'all, but I gotta go. And so then the guy, he's there, and he is made to seem as loving and as compassionate as he possibly be in trying to get her to understand what's going on with her mother. And then the next scene they show you, he's laying in the bed, and his lover is in the bathroom, and this 12-year-old girl comes in, and she knocks on the door, and she says, my period is starting. What should I do? And the one in the bed, oh, my God, your period. What are we going to do? Did you hear her say, your period? And he runs, should we take her to the hospital? Oh, is there a manual to read? And you're supposed to laugh at all of this as though all of this is just normal behavior. What were we told in that very short scene that most of us didn't realize? Somebody was brainwashing us to get a point of view across. First, we're told there's no sin in the behavior of two men having sex with each other as long as they love each other. Second, we're told that sin is defined as not loving somebody who loves you. Second, we are told that homosexual behavior, or people that say homosexual behavior is wrong, is telling you not to love people who are homosexual. Third, we are told to love the homosexual is to approve of their behavior. Fourth, we are told the only people who are willing to help this little girl out are two male homosexuals who opened the door. I sure wish they had interviewed me and Pastor Toby. We would have said, we got another bedroom. She could gladly come and live with us, but they didn't bother to do that. Fifth, we are told two parents are the same, whether they are married or not, and whether they are male and female or male and male. And sixth, we are told anybody who disagrees with this is obviously wrong. Now, our kids have just been given a lesson on how wonderful the homosexual lifestyle is by our own BET. And they are going to believe that because we as parents, we're not even going to talk to them about homosexuality until they are about 15 years old when we want to have a talk with them about sex. And when we sit them down, they'll say, glad you called this meeting. What is it that you would like to know from me? Because they've already completely made up their minds because they have already been trained and geared. They've heard many more sermons on BET than Pastor Toby, Pastor Kelly, and I will ever preach. The Word of God teaches a different truth, though. The Bible tells us that we are not to have sex with someone of the same sex in the Old and New Testament. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, that's all of us here who are having sex with somebody that's not our husband or wife, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It said none of these people. There are people today who say, yes, the Bible does speak against homosexual behavior, but it's talking about people who are jumping in and out of bed with 15, 16 different people. It's not talking about two people who love each other and are committed to each other. Now, if you use that logic, you could say the same thing about adultery. If I grab one of you beautiful women here today and we took off to Hawaii, got us a motel, and we are just living it up in Hawaii, and we start our own Glenville New Life Church the second out there in Hawaii. At what point does my behavior stop being wrong? It ain't never going to stop being wrong. But what done happened to the saints here at Glenville? How many of you know adultery is adultery? And I don't care how many churches I build, I'm still living in sin, in adultery. Now, it does not matter if I say, but I got a peace about living with Susie. I just feel this is God's will for me. It does not matter. The issue is, does the Word of God has a right to say what my behavior is going to be? Now, in that very brief clip we saw there on BET, the guy mentioned the fact that he wanted to keep his quote-unquote lifestyle a secret. Now, one of the things with keeping it a secret is that we in the African-American community, we are being devastated still by the spread of AIDS. And where does most of the transmission come from? It comes from men who are sleeping with other men who turn around and sleep with our women. And that's where it is proliferating from. But do you think BET would say something like that in one of its nice programs? Of course not. That's not part of the sermon. God created a man to be married to a woman and a woman to be married to a man, because the reality is there is something that each sex needs to instill in the life of a child growing up. And that's why he wanted us to have sex in a lifelong commitment to give his blessing upon that behavior. Now, I want us to realize this. Being gay is not new. The reality is, every family in this church struggles with somebody in their family who struggles with homosexuality or lesbianism. And I want you to understand, it would be a rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ for you to turn against that person based on their struggle. If it is your sister, you still need to love her like a sister. If it's your grandchild, you still need to love her like your grandchild. If it's your son, your daughter, you still need to love them. Because if you didn't, it would be a rejection of the gospel. You may feel disappointed. You may feel hurt. You may feel angry. But your call is still to love them. But it would be an equal rejection of the gospel for you to say, I truly accept your behavior as being okay with God. Why? Because you are putting that person at ease with something God has called sin. If you know what the truth is and you refuse to share it, just like in Ezekiel, God says, I'm going to hold you responsible for not standing for the truth. I want us to recognize that all of us are struggling on a journey. When you get up and you hear people talk about they saved, sanctified, ain't been tempted in the last 20 years, I don't know nothing about that kind of salvation. I don't know where they got it from, but that is not my testimony. I am still trying to become what God wants me to be. Now, in the meantime, though, I expect you to love me while rejecting those behaviors of mine that are not of Christ. That's the only way I'm able to love y'all. There are people in our congregation that came out of the gay lifestyle, and there are some who are still struggling with it. And I love them just as much as I love those of you who come out of living together background and who are still struggling with living together, because sin is sin, and God's word is to bring all of us to a point of repentance. Now, our denomination is in a battle over whether or not homosexuals and lesbians can be ordained as elders, deacons, and ministers. And the current part of our Constitution, what's actually in our Constitution, says you should not be excluded from ordination simply because you have a tendency toward homosexuality or lesbianism. Why? Because we all have leanings toward one sinful behavior or another. What excludes you from being ordained is, are you going to act on those feelings? You see, every single person who seeks to be ordained has some leanings toward lust if they know about the opposite sex. Every married person who, when they get ordained, has some leanings toward adultery, whether they know it or not. It's a matter of, will you act upon your feelings? There is no sin in having a tendency, because if it was, none of us would be saved. There is no sin in, I've always struggled with this. The issue is, are you going to surrender to it? Are you willing to deny your feelings for the cause of Jesus Christ? Because all of us are called to pick up our cross and come follow him. And your cross may not be my cross. There are some things that you struggle with that you can put it here all you want to. I'm just not going to be tempted by it. There are some things I'm tempted by that you say, what is wrong with the fool? Don't he know what he's about to do? So none of us are any better than anybody else. We need to let people know that God can change our feelings. God can change the leanings we were born with. That's why Christ died and rose again, so that we can die to whatever it is and rise again. If Christ can conquer death, Christ can conquer anything that come our way. Now, you're going to see articles in the newspaper, and I think one of them showed up not too long ago, in which you'll read something on why gays and lesbians should be allowed to get married. And they're going to tell you about a couple that's been together for 15 years or 30 years and how they love and care about each other. And by the time you finish reading the article, you're going to be about crying. What's the big deal? Let them go ahead on and get married. And from a civil point of view, I'm not talking religious, from a civil point of view, I would support that. From a civil point of view, if that was all that they really wanted. But that is not what the gay lobbyists want. They want an endorsement and an approval of their behavior and punishment for anybody who disagrees with what they do. You look at the Boy Scouts. The United Way refuses to give any donations to the Boy Scouts because they refuse to allow homosexual men to be over troops. Okay? They don't give a penny. So when somebody asks me for a dime from the United Way, I tell them, as long as y'all can't give anything to the Boy Scouts, you don't need my money. Now think about this. Is it appropriate for me to take six to eight little girls on an overnight camping trip? Of course it ain't appropriate for me to do it. Even if I don't plan on doing anything, it is not appropriate for me to do that. So why would it be appropriate for a homosexual to take 6 to 7 little 6 and 7 year old boys on a trip? It just is not appropriate. I'm not saying oh, homosexuals are child molesters. But just like, I ain't got no business trusting me out in the woods with a bunch of little girls. We ain't got no business trusting anybody else. Some things are just plain common sense. But you see, the gay lobbyists, they want to teach our little kids in nursery class. They already got their books where this is a picture of two mommies. This is a picture of two daddies. And this is what they are teaching our kids. So again, when you tell them at 14, this is wrong, we don't see nothing wrong with it. We've been seeing this okay for the last 10 years. They would rather, gay lobby, they want to label us as homophobic and bigots and churches being narrow-minded and unloving simply because we choose to agree with the Word of God. I don't know how many of you listened to Chuck Colson's Breakpoint, but he pointed out this when he was talking in his Talk Point series on the gay and lesbian marriage. And he was saying, too, if that's all that what they were after, then he could see that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. He said, for instance, a Methodist retreat center refused to allow two lesbian couples to use one of their campgrounds for a civil union ceremony. The state of New Jersey punished the Methodists by revoking the center's tax-exempt status, a vindication or an attack on their religious liberty as Methodists. Now let me ask you this. How many of you believe that campground pavilion was the only place in New Jersey where they could have got married? Why did they choose that? Because they wanted to silence the Methodist Church. In Massachusetts, where a group of judges imposed gay marriage a few years ago, Catholic Charities, one of the most successful adoption agencies in the state, were ordered by the government to accept a homosexual couple as candidates in their adoption program. Rather than comply with their order, which they felt would be harmful to children and a violation of their religious belief, Catholic Charities shut down their entire adoption agency in the state. Now, how many of you believe the Catholic Charities adoption agency was the only agency they could have gone to? They went there with a specific purpose to shut down their mouths. California Public Schools, since they have recently adopted gay marriage in that state, their school system have been told they must become gay friendly, which means all of their curriculum that all of the kids see have to promote this as an acceptable lifestyle. Even speaking against homosexuality can get you fired from your job. I don't know how many of you followed the story a couple of months ago. Here, it was in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Crystal Dixon, a black woman, associate vice president at the University of Toledo. She was fired for writing an opinion in the Toledo Free Press saying why she supported traditional marriage. You don't think of losing a job as a vice president because you write an article standing for the truth of what the Word of God says. But she did. You see, promoters of same-sex marriage go out of their way to target Christian businesses and churches because they want to silence the voice and punish anybody who disagrees with it. We are in a spiritual war whether we recognize it or not. And simply you saying, I believe God created male and female to be married to each other, you stand on that long enough and it's going to get you in trouble. Zondervan and Thomas Nelson Books are both being sued right now by a guy who's a homosexual who claims that because they printed King James Bibles that said homosexuality is sinful, it caused him emotional distress when he went to church and when he went home, when his family members told him the Bible says this is wrong. Is he going to win this lawsuit? Probably not. But Zondervan and Thomas Nelson got to pay legal fees to defend themselves just the same. And I guarantee you this, with the power of the gay lobby in this country, the next litmus test for judges is going to be whether they approve of the homosexual lifestyle or not. And just like today, you can be an eminently qualified lawyer, but if you oppose abortion, you will hardly ever get a chance to sit on the federal bench. You're going to be fought left and right. This will become the next litmus test. Do you support it or not? Those of us who stand for the truth, you're going to pay a price for your position. You will not be nominated. You will not be elected. Those of you who are running for judges and whatever in the future, this will be on the web, so you might want to get up now and say, I walked out of the church when Pastor Rick preached that sermon, so you can't say I approved it. You won't run into the Jeremiah Wright issue. Truth is not something we can simply grab out of thin air when it comes to God. What we know about God is what God has chosen to reveal to us. All of us are going to run into situations in which we're going to try to twist the truth in our favor. But that's all we did was twist it. It's still straight and it's still the truth. If we do not accept the word of God concerning what God's word says about what we can and cannot do, we need to just stop calling ourselves Christians and call ourselves something else. None of this stuff has caught God by surprise. He told us in the last days, sexual immorality is going to become rampant. Whole section of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 shows us what happens when a society chooses to reject God and what God revealed about himself. Look there in your outline as I read it. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men, man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Now I want you to see here that all sin is sin. Don't go out of here talking about, Pastor Rick really talked about those homosexuals today. Pastor Rick is talking about homosexuals, gossips, envious, those of us who got some deceit in us, those of us who talking about other people, those of us who think we better than people, those of us who are disobedient to our parents, those of us who know we disobedient to our parents and we encouraging others to continue to be so, those of us who are senseless, heartless, ruthless, all of us need to come to a point of repentance wherein which if God says something is sin, we accept it as sin and quit talking about, well, I just don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, when you bust hell wide open, then you might see why God was saying, if you continue in this, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. None of us can boast about being more holy than someone else. All of us are sinners in need of God's grace because all of us fall into this chapter. And where we see our sin, let us confess it, forsake it, and turn to the living God, that we might be the children of God that God has called us to be. Amen. Let us pray.